UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Right now, Mark Ennis has Tom Allen, the UK football coach, on.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
He loved the knob.
And James Strebel.
I don't know. I could see Scott Satterfield making pancakes and sausage for his wife.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Oh, Vince Tyree. Please, oh, please just let us have football.
Oh, that's Taylor Lynch yesterday. Here on ESPN 680, it's The Take. Hour number three, another hour to go. Been a fun show today. Reminder, we're broadcasting mobily from the Papa John's studios. And as always, no contact delivery from Papa John's and papajohns.com. And go ahead and use that promo code we've been telling you about for quite a while, Radio XL, for that two-topping extra-large pizza and a two-liter, just $14. Again, papajohns.com or the Papa John's app. I would imagine, do you know, Mitch, if Andy Beshear is done, the governor? Has he finished his daily address? I don't know. I would imagine not. He started after 4 o'clock, so I'd imagine that is not the case. Also, want to give a big thank you and a thank you from and a thank you to our longtime partner, UPS Jobs. Would like to say thank you to all the drivers, supply chain, and logistic members who keep the community going by delivering needed goods on a daily basis. I'm being told Governor Beshear is done, so a shorter press conference is going to tell people about Mark Ennis. I don't know. I'm being nice. I don't know what you want from me. So we've talked about the South End Quarry. We've talked about Mike Norvell. We've talked, good God, Drew Brees. We've talked to Olivier Saar, an Arizona State punter, and we keep we talked about Strebel's vacation.
Yes.
And we talked about many things, and we keep the fun going. His normal 5 o'clock spot with us on a Thursday. His name is Rick Bozich from WDRB, WDRB.com, at Rick Bozich, if you want to find him on Twitter. Rick, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, Andy. How are you doing?
Oh, we are fine. Strebel's getting ready to go on vacation.
Yeah.
I'm not happy.
Where are you going, James? Gulf Shores, Alabama.
He's been packing for like 4 days. He's taking tomorrow off to pack, and his wife has been shopping for like 3 days. So the Strebels might be moving to Gulf Shores at this point, right?
You know, who knows what's going to happen with the amount of shopping she's done. So we'll see. A lot of targets.
What, is Rick Bozich going on vacation with quarantine happening? What are you going to do? You guys have been working hard with no break.
We haven't planned any vacation. If baseball ever comes back, I'm sure I'll go to Chicago for a 2 or 3 game to see some games. I don't know. I'd kind of like to go up to Indianapolis at some point and see my sister. My wife would probably like to go to Detroit and see her son and 3 grandchildren. So,
ooh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, there you go. How much less worried are you now with what has happened over, and we will get to what has happened with the unrest around the nation, but especially your city, our city, the city of Louisville, but it's pushed the coronavirus back. And now I go on public and see very few masks, and, you know, Vegas has opened up and everything else. You mentioned trips you're taking. Strebel's taking a trip. I'll be taking some time off. Locke's going to be off next week. How much are you nervous less, I should say? I don't know the way to ask it with what's happened the last week, so many people being around each other. We've forgotten maybe a little bit about the coronavirus.
I don't know if I'm nervous less. I'm probably not as vigilant as I have been in the past. So I probably need to think about that. And, you know, I'm probably not washing my hands as many times as I was probably back in March and April. Probably need to do that more. But today I started to go into Walgreens and I realized I didn't have my mask on. So I went back to the car and got it. And I just got done doing an interview and I wore my mask. And, you know, I think it's still important to – some of it's just good hygiene in the first place. But, I mean, I think it's inevitable.
Common sense.
I mean, we're going to have to – people are going to have to go back to work, and you're just going to have to learn to be sensible about it. I'm pretty sure that Eric and I will be able to go back to the TV station, you know, sometime this month. So, you know, more people have been going down there recently, so we're going to have to, you know, figure out what adjustments there are to make and make them and be smart.
Rick Bozich with us here on ESPN 680 1057. Okay, I mean, listen, there's no, we haven't talked to you since the recent events have really, really picked up around town. They were starting to, of course, catch steam last week, and we talked about it.
Right.
So obviously the racial unrest, we have seen the protests now for about a week or so. I mean, you're a guy that spent so much of his life in this area. I asked Pat Forty, you know, pretty much the same thing yesterday. I know it's a loaded question. What have your thoughts? What have your emotions been as you have seen all of this unrest around your city?
It's been a wide range of emotions, and mainly it's been heartbreaking. Heartbreaking to see people who have been hurt through the years of dealing with racism, racial inequality, concerns about fair treatment in the justice system, lack of opportunity, whether it's, you know, career-wise, and for them to get to this point and protest like this, they obviously have some legitimate and sincere grievances. And the one thing, I mean, I'm old enough, this is showing my age, I was around, you know, in Gary, Indiana in 68 when there were really protests, probably, I don't remember them being as lasting as long as this, but they were certainly as dramatic. And, you know, there was some change after that. I guess what I hope is this time it seems that more people are listening and taking it seriously, and hopefully there will be change that will come from it, not just, I heard you guys talking, not just statements on Twitter and not just, you know, things like that, which have happened, but, you know, actual sincere change. And, you know, the one thing that, I think it was Tony Dungy, I just was reading some stuff that said it, is that maybe one of the positive things to come from the situation with Drew Brees is it creates honest dialogue, that he said what he said, and you know, it wasn't received very well, and people explained to him, some in harsh terms, some in more understanding terms, of why they didn't agree or why it was wrong, but that at least opens a dialogue, because I think for so long, you know, people are afraid to talk about race, and we're not going to make any progress at all unless people can sit and talk about it and be honest about their feelings.
This is an odd question. Oh, I have two questions. Let me do a follow-up here. My follow-up would be with some of the places, whether it be Gary or obviously here in Louisville, is this the most social unrest you've seen in the city you've lived in?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else it would be. I mean, I wasn't in Los Angeles after Rodney King or, you know, there was another incident in Los Angeles, the Watts riots, I guess. Those were before Martin Luther King. But, yeah, in Gary, Indiana, after Martin Luther King was assassinated, Gary was one of the towns along with, you know, Memphis and Newark. And it was a large number of towns where there was significant unrest, but this has been different, because I think when I look at the protests, the crowds are more diverse and they're younger, and they're speaking, I think, from their heart. And I didn't, it's, like I said, that's so long ago. That was 1968. I don't remember the crowds back in 68 being so diverse after the assassination. It was first, it was Martin Luther King, and then it was Robert Kennedy. And that was 68, you know, as everybody, you know, if you study history much, knows that was probably the most tumultuous year over the last part of that decade, because you had not only that, you had Vietnam going on and two people assassinated like that, and you know, the culture was changing with drugs and all different things. It was just a wild year. This seems different because it's focused in on one issue, which is racism, and I think more people are paying attention to it.
Oh, absolutely. Rick Bozich with us. I was just going to say, and very serious and good stuff from you, Rick. I was going to say, to lighten the mood for a second, the 68-69, I always get on Bobby V. You know, that's when the Mets and Jets were good. And I always tell Bobby V he's still living in 1968-69-ish. I always get on Bobby V when you mention that. Well, okay, so this might be an odd question, but I don't think so.
Okay.
And Rick Bozich with us. So you have been watching the different, obviously, news reporters, journalists, your own journalists at WDRB. When all this stuff started really picking up on Thursday and Friday, my wife was watching Travis Ragsdale walk around. And she goes, "Do you know him?" And I go, "Well, yeah, I know Travis Ragsdale." And she was, her eyes lit up, Rick. She was surprised and proud that I knew Travis Ragsdale.
There you
so
go.
Anyway, you watch media, you watch the treatment of media, you have watched the hours your own people have put in. You watch, you know, some rubber bullets getting close or hitting some of the journalists that are down there. As a media person, through the eyes of the media, how do you watch what is going on, and how do you watch other media members who are there down in the thick of it when, you know, all the bleeps kind of hitting the fan?
Again, a wide range of emotions. One is there's an element of a little bit of frustration in that it's the kind of story that you get in this business to cover, and, you know, in part because we're in sports, but in part because we're not, you know, allowed to go downtown to the station now because of the coronavirus, that, you know, I'm like you, I'm just watching all the coverage on TV. And I think when I watch it, I have nothing but respect for the reporters, not only at WDRB, but at the newspaper and the other TV stations in town and radio stations who are down there and putting themselves in situations where you've got a lot of emotion, you've got a lot of agitation, you've got some law enforcement people who aren't thrilled with the media, you've got some protesters who aren't thrilled with the media. So at any point, you don't know how somebody's going to respond to you, but they've all been of the mindset that it's important. It's their job to do it. And you mentioned Travis Ragsdale. I've texted him, and Chad Mills of our station, mm-hmm. to me, has been incredible. He's been out there, you know, yep. marching, you know, with the protesters, I think 5 or 6 straight nights. And yeah. I've been told they've asked him to take time off, and he said he didn't want to. It's too important. And, you know, I'm Gilbert Corse, he's done a phenomenal job. Hayden Rostevsky, I can name 7 or 8, you know, more
people. Are you guys' numbers good, like in the media in general? Like, are people consuming
yeah.
this? Are they streaming it? Because
yeah.
I'm streaming
yeah.
a lot of it.
The streaming numbers have been very high, and the ratings have been very high. And, you know, it's the story, the biggest story we've had here in a long, long time. And it's such a, I don't know, surreal time, because starting in March with what the coronavirus did, that's never happened, you know, that any of us can remember, where everything got shut down for a health concern like that. And then to be followed up with this story, it's been an amazing time for media members to be challenged in how they kind of cover stories that, when the year started, if somebody said this is what's going to happen from March until June 4th, nobody would have believed it.
I was telling, I'll lighten the mood here. I will try to lighten the mood in between, the serious stuff. And we'll get into more sports stuff here. Rick Bozich with us, WDRB, at Rick Bozich. I was telling the in-laws, Rick, that I believe it was Wave 3. I'm not exactly sure that had, the rubber bullets kind of shot their way or at them, if you will. I believe it was. That they were like, they mentioned that. And what I said was, I was like, well, if I went down there, I would want that to be me because I would be in the middle of the story with all the clicks.
Attention.
That's what I said. I would be getting all of the attention. So I was like, come on. But you guys
have worldwide. Crawford was the one who really knocked it out of the park when he took a video of when they broke the hand off the statue. Video got it was at least 2 million views. And that's the one that inspired the distant relative of the king in France to he retweeted it and it was like this is it was just blew me away just how interconnected we are across the whole world through social media.
I would wonder, I could text him, but I do wonder, and I know he was on with Nick Curran and Patty Ice earlier filling in for Bobby V, who will be back on Monday, taking some time off. Who were they just talking about? I lost my train of thought.
Eric Crawford?
They were talking to EC. I would love to know. That's obviously the most views he's ever received. I would love to know what's second on that list, right? Because it's going to be it's just going to be some crappy sports thing, right?
Right.
It's going to be probably
some Lamar Jackson. Yeah. If I had to guess. Some Lamar Jackson video. He might have been at the Syracuse game, and I know he was at the Heisman ceremony. So if I had to guess, I'd say it was had something to do with Lamar Jackson.
Mitch just texted us, 2.7 mil is what it's up to, wow. Rick.
2.7 million,
Oh, that's fantastic. Right place, right time. Rick Bozich with us on ESPN 680-1057. Well, one more thing that's kind of attached to this. Drew Brees stepped in it, and that's obviously a national story. One that matters a little bit more to us, Mike Norvell, the last 24 hours. Just in general, sports teams, how they've handled this, how they've done a good job, a bad job. Drew Brees, Mike Norvell, who obviously is fighting with Louisville as being the second best on that side of the ACC. How do you see sports, and what do you make of some of the bigger, sports figures that have stepped in it over the last couple days?
Yeah, I mean, Mike Norvell, it's like a secondary. He kind of lied or exaggerated, right, about the fact that
he exaggerated.
Reached out to every player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he exaggerated. I mean, like, that's just stupid. I mean, there's no reason to do that, especially on an issue or topic as serious and significant as this. I mean, the players have his fate in their hands, and I've read some stuff where the players have said they're okay, they're moving forward, but you don't know the first time there's some adversity moving forward of how much they really have his back. And I've seen some stories where people have, collected their opinions on how different guys respond. A couple of days ago, it seemed like it was Dabo Swinney's time on the hot seat, where people looked at his press conference and raised eyebrows at some of his answers. So, I think Tom Allen yesterday on his teleconference said it well, that, the first thing people need to do is stop talking and start listening. That's what he said, that the message he got from the Indiana football players, that, to listen to what they're actually saying. And I think a lot of coaches would be well served by doing that.
I loved what Pat Forty wrote. He's like, Dabo's a great coach, and that's just all he is. Like, it's okay. Like, just kind of sit it there, and some are going to be more out there, and some are not, and obviously we know where they stand at this point. Wes Unseld passed away. You wrote about it, obviously. You guys have talked about it on WDRB. Tons of content on that. You have made the play. It's time to honor him. When it comes to statues and honors and those sorts of things, I always think of this, Rick. Why can't this stuff just get done, right? So, Wes Unseld, I want to give you your time to talk about him and honoring him and others that deserve it Why can't this stuff just get done?
That's a great question, and it's the discussion I had with Butch Beard the other day, who was Wes Unseld's one of his best friends, roommate at UofL for 3 years. And to me, it's always been puzzling why Wes Unseld hasn't been honored more in this town. He's actually a guy who's from here. His family was very prominent in the Newburgh community. His brother, George, was here, and I think he was a high school principal, and the guy won two championships at Seneca. He stayed here and played at UofL. And then, there aren't many guys that go work for one pro franchise and stay there their entire life. And that's what he did. I mean, he played for the Bullets. He coached for them, and then they became the Wizards. He was a GM. He was a VP. Abe Pollin refused to let him leave that team. And, if you're going to honor anybody, a guy like Wes Unseld is just an incredible representative of this city and the University of Louisville. Why it hasn't gotten done, I don't know. Butch did say that they had talked to Wes about it at one time, and he wasn't interested. But he said, doesn't matter if he's not interested, you still have to do it. And so hopefully it'll get done at some point. But, Wes Unseld, I remember him. I didn't live here when he played at UofL. But I do remember when he went in the NBA, and that first year, that was like NBA games were only on TV like on Sunday afternoon, and that was the year he won Rookie of the Year and MVP, and he and Chamberlain are the only two guys to ever do that, so think about that.
Wow.
And just to watch him play fundamentally sound and all about winning, and I'll share this story. When I did the first story about him a couple of days ago, and I talked to Mayor Abramson, who went to Seneca with him, and three of his teammates at UofL, and Kevin Grevy of UK, who played with him for the Bullets. And when I was talking to Kevin Grevy, he was driving home from somewhere in Ohio, and he pulled over to the side of the road for a minute to talk to me and started crying. That's how much Wes Unseld meant to him. So
Been the stories. Those have been the stories. I'm just looking from the outside. I'm 35, so obviously I'm not experiencing all this, but that has been the consistent thing as I've been absorbing all these stories over the last couple days.
I mean, David Oliver's wrote a great tribute to him at The Athletic, and then Bob Ryan sent me an email that night and said, if for his money, Wes Unseld is the best player to ever come out of Louisville, right? And I said, yeah, I think so. I mean, everybody talks about Daryl Griffith, and Daryl Griffith's phenomenal. I love Daryl Griffith, but Wes Unseld is, in the NBA's top 50 of all time. And then Bob wrote back to me and said, he was really taking this personally because when he really came of age as an NBA guy, Jerry Sloan and Wes Unseld were two of his favorite guys, and they both passed in the last couple of weeks. So I think a lot of people who really became basketball fans in the 60s when you had Unseld and you had Issel and you had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was then Lew Alcindor, and you had Pete Maravich and Austin Carr and all these dudes who there was a lot more characters back then, and they played their whole college career, and they created – basketball wasn't as big back then, and those are the guys who really helped grow basketball. They really did, and that was Butch Beard's point about Wes Unseld, that, Wes Unseld is the guy that helped Louisville take the necessary steps to go from being a very good, very strong regional program to more of a national program. And then Denny Crum took it beyond that. But Wes Unseld, hugely significant historical figure, in my opinion.
Rick Bozich with us, at Rick Bozich. He's from WTRB. Two things here, Rick. Okay, so I want to get to a Bob Ryan story here in just a second. But quickly, a texter is being snarky, and it's funny because last week, this week you mentioned being on a teleconference with Tom Allen. Last week you mentioned being on a teleconference. Yeah, the IU wide receiver, and we said that was sad. We said that was just kind of a sad thing. It was no offense to anybody. It was just kind of a sad thing as Rick Bozich is in quarantine. There's social unrest. There's no baseball, and you're on a teleconference with the Indiana wide receiver coach. A texter says, was there an IU wide receiver coaches conference call this week that Bozich was on? So I just wanted you to know that people are thinking, people are listening, those sorts of things. Just a funny Bob Ryan story. So when New Orleans, 2012, when Kentucky won the title and Kentucky and Louisville played in the national semifinal, you know how you would bus back, right, Rick? I mean, you've done this. I need to tell you.
Yeah.
You would bus back from the Superdome back to wherever your hotel was or whatever connection that you had. And sometimes it could be busy. So there was like a media thing, or I think we did the show down there, and so we left, and it was busy. It was probably 6, 6:15, something like that. So it was busy, you know, kind of the back end of rush hour in New Orleans. So we got, you know, we load into the bus. And so we're sitting there, and, you know, we're finally just kind of relaxing for the day. And me and Anderson were in, and we let our brethren in Kansas City book this. We were in the Roach Motel of all motels, okay, Rick? So we were in a bad mood. We didn't sleep well, not to mention you're partying on Bourbon Street, you know, when your gas bags and everything else. So I'm tired, and I'm just sitting there. And so I know it's going to be, you know, it could be 20, 25 minutes or so that you're going to be in this bus. And it ended up being that. And Bob Ryan sat two seats in front of me. And, Rick, I can't remember who the other people were there. Bob Ryan just started talking about the old days. He just started giving Red Auerbach and Celtics takes and all of the old, like all of the Red Sox stuff. And I just sat there, and this was 2012, this was 8 years ago. I'm like 27 years old. I'm just sitting there as a radio gas bag. I had my eyes closed, and I was just listening to Bob Ryan talk about the good old days.
Nice.
How about that?
I've had bus rides like that with Bob Ryan at different events where you just sit and let him talk about.
Yeah.
You know, he goes back, he can go back to Cousy and Havlicek and Russell and all those dudes. And obviously he's, you know, nobody knows more about Larry Bird and McHale and Parrish than him or Dave Collins or on and on and on. I mean, he, and the NBA at large. I mean, there wasn't insiders like that back then, but he was the first really national, basketball writing figure that I can think of. Him and in the pros, really, and then he transitioned more to college some too, and Hoops Weiss for college.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you seen the Arizona State story before we get you out of here, the punter that got eligible? Have you seen that story?
Okay,
you remember the name Matt Turk, right, who was a punter for many years in the NFL? His nephew, Michael Turk, he just got, like, the waiver of all waivers from the NCAA. He went to the NFL, he got an agent, didn't get money, supposedly, but got an agent, went through the NFL process, went undrafted, came back to Arizona State. They put in for a special waiver talking about how the coronavirus meant he couldn't work out for other teams, so he decided to come back, and his waiver got okayed in about 2 months' time, which is the same as Johnny Juzang, which led me to say, Rick, in the 3 o'clock hour, like, to me, if the NCAA is willing to do this, and this is a first of its kind, then Olivier Sarr should get his waiver from the NCAA.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, considering everything that's going on right now, you know, because of the coronavirus and Forbes taking over from Manning, I would think he has a very good argument to be able to play immediately Kentucky. But as we've talked about before,
who knows?
The one thing that people get mad about in this whole process is there's no guidelines, there's no consistency. It seems to be at times arbitrary, so stay tuned.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I just saw that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be all in here if with BBN's anger, if there's any issue when a punter at Arizona State can go through the draft process, go undrafted, and come back and become eligible. If the NCAA is going to be lenient, I'm all here for it. But they can't pick and choose with, you know, Tate Martell last year. The kid, Mitch, I can't remember. Figueroa, what is it, from St. John's, who has openly said that he thinks he's going to get his waiver. Kentucky sure acting like it, and there's no doubt they need it. Rick Bosich, WDRB. Rick, we'll talk with you next week. Thanks so much. Take care and stay safe. Thanks so much.
All right, I got a 5:45 conference.
Well, there we go.
Special teams coach.
There we go. There we go. All right, Rick Bosich with us on ESPN 680 105.7. There you go.
Boy, the IU special teams coach. There you go, Rick. He goes from wide receiver to Tom Allen to special teams.
But Mitch, we are getting inundated with 93.9 texts right now. Not inundated, just like two or three. But Jonathan has texted in, I've always loved Joel's calls because he always has been the voice of reason on Cardinal topics. But today, my respect went through the roof. Signed, Jonathan.
Oh, I'm glad.
I really want to know.
I want to know what Joel's call was.
I want to know what Joel's call was about. Listen, we're going to get Bobby Pettiford.
Yeah.
And we're going to steal him from Tulsa. And we're going to win national title with Chris Mack.
This year.
2 years. Well, Pettiford being 2 years.
Oh,
Mitch, you turned your mic on. Go ahead.
No, I just sighed at that text. It's just... I'll ask what the call is about, but
we want to know. Yes, find out from Patty Ice if you can get through the scowling. Exactly. Actually, Patty shouldn't be scowling. He got to talk NASCAR for like 2 hours today.
Happy today.
I did ask him. I was like, "How upset are you that Kentucky Speedway and Kansas City are going to have a race in the same month and you can't go to either of them?"
Why can't he go to? Oh, there's no fans at all.
Fans.
Yeah, no fans.
Yeah.
You know what I should do, Mitch? You ready for this? I should get, like, pit passes to Kansas City.
You should.
And just take a sign that says, suck it, on it, and just hold it up. Yeah. Me next to Nemechek.
Yeah.
Me next to Ricky Rudd.
Ricky Rudd.
Me next to Kyle Busch.
Yes.
And Kurt Busch and Junior and his Wranglers. How about that? Me chugging beers.
Yes.
I just send Patty and his, There's one extra ticket if Hannah wants to go, but you know, you're not allowed, Patty. Obviously,
no.
You'll be working. You'll be running the board for Training Pain in the Sunday Morning Hangover.
Yes,
10 to 12.
You can't go.
Let's take a break. All right, let's take a break. Good stuff from Rick Bozich as we went in depth there. We'll take a break. Hijinks the final 30 minutes before Strebel goes to pack his car for 3 days here on the Take on ESPN 680. Alrighty, it's the 5 o'clock hour. You know it's time for me to tell you about the good people at the Fitness Market, thefitnessmarket.com. Whether it be weights, whether it be treadmills, whether it be ellipticals, rowing machines, bikes, anything in between, they are stocked and they are ready for you. The showrooms, the two showrooms are open. They are delivering, curbside delivery. They're ready for you. Home gyms, if you want to start one, you want to continue one. You know we've been telling you for years about the Fitness Market. We all trust them. Got my treadmill today, ran a couple miles on that. Again, it is thefitnessmarket.com, thefitnessmarket.com. Also go to Facebook, type in Fitness Market. You can find them. Their phone number, 882-2694, 882-2694, whatever you're looking for. It is the Fitness Market. They'll work with you. They have all the new, the best brands, the new equipment. They also have gently used equipment, and they are stocked. They always put on Facebook exactly what they have. So, again, it's 882-2694. The two locations are working out of their Plant Side Drive location, thefitnessmarket.com, thefitnessmarket.com. Follow on Facebook and tell them ESPN Louisville sent you.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Imagine Mike Miller joining Archie Miller's staff and bringing in James Wiseman-type players.
And James Strebel.
Well, I mean, they had Romeo Langford. What am I talking about? I'm sorry. They got Christian Landers. I'm sorry. They don't need Mike Miller. They've got Archie.
Boy, you just pivoted. You couldn't even have fun with that.
I tried,
but
I couldn't.
To bashing Archie.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So today's been fun. It's a Thursday. It's ESPN 680 105.7. Another 20 minutes. It's a take. Andy Sweeney, Mitchell Hannigan back at the Papa John Studios. Round Daddy James Strebel hanging out with us today. I think Perrin Johnson going to be hanging out with us tomorrow as Strebel's packing up and getting on the road
ready to go.
Vacation. Well, good for you.
Yes.
By the way, I'm looking at all these videos. There's more people in Vegas with masks on than actually what I thought.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm watching. You know, different videos are obviously different. I mean, they have different amount of people. But I mean, there's this newest video that I'm looking at. There's a nice amount of people. I'm actually surprised by that. All right, we've talked about a bunch of nonsense today. Obviously, Mike Norvell in the news. Mm-hmm. Louisville and Chris Mack locking in on a 3-star point guard who is 6'1". Perfect dimensions for the pack line.
Yes.
We've talked about that. Strebel was strident about that. We talked with Rick Bozich for about 10-15 minutes. Our guy Mark Ennis joined us. So we talked about the South End Quarry or the LaGrange
yes,
Quarry.
Yes, we did.
We've been all over the place. So as we normally do in the 4 o'clock hour, we throw a bunch of sound at the audience.
Yes.
So we are going to continue that trend instead of spreading the sound out throughout the show for everybody. I fail yet again, and so here we are. We have not played Joe Lenardi for you.
This is true. I read the tweet.
So Joe Lenardi was on the Midday Rush with Lachlan McClain, and one of the things that he said is he has Kentucky, I believe, as a 4 seed, and
yes.
It's like 10 months out, and it's June, and it means absolutely nothing. And he has Olivier Saar accounted for. So here's what happened. Locke was doing the interview, mm-hmm. and I text Locke. I go, hey, does he have Kentucky as a 4 seed because he thinks Olivier Saar is going to be eligible or not eligible? So this is Joe Lenardi, I would imagine, Mitch, giving his opinion on if Olivier Saar is or is not going to be eligible, and then the couple follow-ups on his hot take about Olivier Saar. Is that right?
Well, I kind of separately. Do you want to hear why he thinks he should be eligible, or then the
let's just hear all of it.
Okay.
Let's just hear all of it. Here is Joe Lenardi talking about Olivier Saar.
I am counting him as eligible, and that may surprise some people.
So that's
the algorithm is certainly biased, even with the adjustments we make for teams that are loaded with freshmen. You know, you have to sign 3 or 4 Anthony Davises for a freshman, you know, to be projected as a first-team all-league player. Like, there might be 1 or 2 in every power conference. So even with the adjustments, the formula is going to maybe keep Kentucky a line and a half lower than they may end up being. But I counted him as eligible, and that's a 60-40 coin flip that I flipped, and it came up head.
All right, keep him coming.
Before we get there, let's just remember, like, he's going to be a significant difference maker, right? But
yeah.
He's not a first-team all-league player in the SEC.
Mitch, I hate to do this to you. It's Joe Lenardi is getting ready to have a hot take, but I need to hear Locke again.
Oh.
Mitch, I need to hear – wait, we just stumbled on the sound that matters the most.
Let's just remember, like, he's going to be a significant difference maker, right? But
yeah.
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 Play it again.
Yeah. Play it again.
Difference maker, right? But
yeah. I don't know why. That is funny, is it not?
I think it's
Mitch,
funny.
You find that funny. That's just not us. I hope that's not just us finding that funny. All right, go ahead. Play the whole. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and play the whole. Yeah. Go ahead and play the whole answer. Yeah.
Before we get there, let's just remember, like, he's going to be a significant difference maker, right? But
yeah,
he's not a first-team all-league player in the SEC.
Well, he was third-team all-ACC last year in a better league, though, Joe.
Not enough to lift Wake.
Well,
right?
True that.
Whoa.
Like, you know, is he a half a step better than Sestina, maybe?
Well, I would think the UK fans think he's a lot. He's a marathon better than Nate Sestina, not just a half a step.
Not Anthony Davis.
Yeah, well, that's
like,
yeah. Who is?
I think, realistically, you know, he's still closer to Sestina than he is to being the SEC Player of the Year, and that's what the projections do. Might he be a perfect fit and completely change the calculation? Yes. Didn't we say the same thing last year about Curry Blackshear going to Florida from the ACC? Yes. Did the pieces fit at Florida? No.
I mean, that's a wide gap.
It is.
That's a wide gap.
Well, he's not Anthony Davis. Well, there's a wide.
No kidding.
Is there a wide gap between Nate Sestina and Anthony Davis? Yes or no? I mean, honestly.
Jeez, Louise.
Locke had a difficult. Let's talk about this from Locke's viewpoint. Locke, even as the guy who isn't going to back BBN, had a difficult decision there.
He did.
Because he want to be nice. He was trying to be nice to Joe Lenardi. Lenardi goes on more, obviously, with Bobby V.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, you know, we, you know, listen, Nick Valvano texts him and he comes on the air. That doesn't happen for many radio stations
sure.
around the country. You can like him. You cannot like him. I don't give a damn.
Right.
It's fine sound. But Locke had a difficult decision there because
yeah.
I know he fundamentally disagreed in the difference between Anthony Davis, the first overall pick and a future Hall of Famer in the NBA, and a guy who averaged 5 points, 3 rebounds a game and shot 46%, and 5 points a game. I mean, 5 points, 3 rebounds a game. That is a wide berth.
Yes.
That is a wide, wide berth. So anyway, I mean, Nate Sestina. I mean, if Olivier Saar is Nate Sestina.
Kentucky's in trouble. I mean, Kentucky's in trouble. If he's Nate and I don't believe he's Nate Sestina. I don't know what, like, why Nate Sestina, did he pull him into this? I don't get it. And like Locke said, look, he was third team All-ACC. It's not like he's first team Patriot League or second team Patriot League or whatever. This false equivalency of comparing players that played in the ACC and SEC and players that play in the Patriot League and whatever other league is just, I'm done with it. He played in the ACC, didn't play for Bucknell.
Yeah, but you have to do it because Kentucky's going to be involved in it.
I know it.
Kentucky's going to have, they're going to be, I mean, come on, Creighton? They got the backup guard at Creighton.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's good, but I'm not thinking
Rhode Island.
That Davion Mintz is going to come in and be John Wall. Like, that's not my expectation for him. But I do think Olivier Sarge will be come in and be damn better than Nate Sestina. If he ain't better than Nate Sestina, Kentucky's in big trouble.
If you had to compare him to a former UK player, who would you compare him to? Like, the level of production that Sarge is going to give Kentucky basketball.
I think honestly, you would look at a below-the-rim tubby player.
Like,
and I don't mean that to be mean, but right?
Dakari Johnson. Somebody like Dakari Johnson. He's not as tall.
Dakari Johnson's stats weren't good though.
They were his freshman year were better than his
second
year.
Yeah, but
he
was a backup.
Not his freshman year, he's a starter.
Was his freshman year?
Yeah, he started, and then the next year was the.
Did you hear him swallow loudly into the mic there? Did you hear that, Mitch? Is that something only that I heard in my headset?
I didn't hear it. So.
It was a very loud swallow.
Dakari Johnson, he started his freshman year because that's when Cal, the first time he started all five freshmen, and then the second year was the platoon year. And that's when Carl Anthony Towns came
played
in.
Played 8 minutes his last game. Yeah.
That's when they had Carl Anthony Towns and Willie Cauley-Stein. But I'm just saying, if you're
did you ever sing Willie Cauley-Stein Man?
The what?
The Willie Cauley-Stein Man.
Who's the Willie Cauley?
Wasn't that a Matt Jones song?
Oh,
your buddy?
Yes.
Baby
I know. Man. Yes.
Wasn't
now
that
I know.
Your boy?
Yeah, I believe Kentucky Joe was the individual that pinned that top 10 hit. Yes. But no, if I'm looking at players, that's the one I'd compare him to in the Cal era.
Texas says, dude, did y'all miss Lenardi or Locke calling Lenardi JoJo?
JoJo? He didn't eat it.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Okay.
I didn't hear that either. Was it before or after the interview?
I don't
during?
Know. I mean, listen, I don't know. It's the first I ever heard. By the way, my expectation for Olivier Saar would be knocking on a double-double.
That's what I want to
11
happen.
Points, 8-9 rebounds a game.
Yes.
If you ask me what, I mean, he averaged nearly 14-9 at Wake Forest. Things are going to be different at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
It's a better team. But if you ask me, it would be you would want to be sitting at, 10, 11 points, 8-9 rebounds would be my guess.
Reed Travis numbers.
Which is, I think, what he did.
That's about what Reed Travis did when he was at Kentucky. I think he was like 10-8. Something like that.
That is all the sports we will do. Mitch, what time? What kind of sound do we want to play
yes.
here, Mitch? What do we have for the final few minutes before Strebel rides
oh, wow,
into
yeah.
vacation?
We have some Blankenbaker sound left. We have Diener leveling up on some Satterfield. We have Locke sound from yesterday and today. We have Process didn't know another SEC team,
oh,
what city it was.
By the way, a texter makes a good point. Are you guys going to skip the Murray Minute today?
Oh, yeah, we've got Murray Minute.
Well, Mitch, what do you want to do? Do you want to do the Murray Minute? The Murray Minute's about you being a star. So if
yes.
you don't want to do it, we can just punt and we can just play lock sound. I got no problem with that. But if you want to do
it only should take a minute, so we can do both.
All right, well,
yeah,
let's
we haven't
do
done
the,
one in a while.
All right, we'll get it ready. Let's do the Murray Minute. Mitch is from Callaway County.
Yes.
He just does what a Sea of Blue does. He copies articles onto a notepad
yes.
and he reads them
and
on
reads
the
them
air,
off of the air.
And he reads them off on the air.
It's riveting.
So that's what it is. It's the Murray Minute on the Take on ESPN 680.
Time now for the Murray Minute.
I can fish. I can hunt.
With the noodler himself.
Noodling is like, it's kind of like fishing. If you want to catch a big catfish, you just stick your arm in the pond and let the fish bite your arm, and that's how you bring it out of the pond.
The kid from Callaway County.
I'm not that country, but I am a truck guy.
His name is Mitchell Hannigan.
Good afternoon. My name is Mitch Hannigan.
And he needs his Motorola.
Motorola. I love my Motorola. Mitchell Hannigan.
All right. Thanks, Dockage. Yeah, we haven't done Murray Men in a while.
It's been like a week.
Yeah, some big stories that have come out locally. Callaway County is no different from the rest of America. There are protests going down in Callaway County. One of my friend, or wasn't my friend, but someone I went to high school with actually got maced in the face. And there's like two people got arrested.
Yeah, but can I ask, do they do it opposite in Murray? Are they protesting against the protesters? The people that are getting in trouble are the ones with the Confederate flags? I'm asking that.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
There's also no looting going on. There's no looting the local Hibbett Sports or the the Walmart or the Lowe's. There's no looting going on. It started off peaceful, but things are escalating a little bit in Callaway County. My Facebook feed's lit is what I'm trying to say. The Shirai Theaters is opening up for the first time after the COVID-19 pandemic, so you go go see your movies at the Shirai Theaters, which I don't even know if are people still making movies?
No. Not
like,
really.
What's the last like movie? What's like the last movie trailer you saw on TV?
It's a good point. Yeah, a good point a by really you. Look point. At you.
Yeah.
They're going to test the tornado sirens on Friday, so if you hear the tornado sirens randomly, don't be alarmed. There's testing them. The skate park is being opened as well next to the park, so people go to the skate park for one reason.
So you can go to get your weed.
I'm not saying that, but...
Oh!
Well, I am.
Yeah, basically. And then, people are wanting an update on the story of the guy who stole $20,000 from the barbecue on the river.
Yes.
Update, Paducah police said during the investigation, they discovered Boggs... That's the guy who stole the money. Was being blackmailed for thousands of dollars as part of a social media scam.
Nice.
Investigators say Boggs had been writing checks to himself from the barbecue on the river operating account for about 6 weeks to pay the blackmailer. So I don't know what social media scam it was, but...
Whoa.
Wow, that's quite a story.
Tricked our old guy Boggs into giving them some money. And then my last story...
Old man Boggs, wow.
Yeah. Murray State Racer Athletic News... Picked up a couple of commitments. Women's soccer, Kelly Havens and Marty Floyd.
There you go.
Stacking a powerhouse for the Racer women's soccer team. So there you go. That's been your Murray Minute.
At the end of the Murray Minute, when you give soccer, you need to go into Mitch Rummage, and that needs to be your
Shoes up, baby. Shoes up.
Yeah, that they love all sports and just love every player.
And they're the best.
Yeah, there you go. Texas says, I did hear a lot call him JoJo today. It was towards the end.
Oh. We'll have to go back and listen to that.
We'll have to find that tomorrow. Wow.
Hey, JoJo.
Texas says, pretty sweet gig. James hasn't been at 680 a year and already a paid vacation.
I've been at 680 for
well, it's
over
also not a,
year.
A paid vacation.
It's not a paid vacation. Yeah, I'm not getting paid. I only get paid when I do the shows, which is fair.
Texas says, can't wait to go to the skate park. That coming down at 437-9680. Mitch, play some
what's
sound.
This Blankenbaker sound. You're all hot.
Yeah, whatever you want to play, just play. We got a couple minutes left here before we get to what is it? A Thursday bonus hour at 6 o'clock.
All right, I'll play this Blankenbaker sound. But I thought it'd be bring a topic on the show. But I was shocked that he said this.
And actually, I think this 2020 season is going to look a lot like last year, where the real big jump is going to happen. In 2021, and I think we could win 7 or 8 games. You know, that's where I see us. If we win 9, I think it's absolute miracle.
Wow.
Hey, what's he doing there? Why is he doing that?
I don't know. I mean, it's like there's like publications that are like adamant Louisville's going to go 9-3, and Blankenbaker's
over
here.
Why is he pivoting? Because here's the thing: he's going to get mad. He's going to get mad at all the people who didn't have them ranked high, right?
Yes.
He's going to get mad at all these people. So what's he doing? Why is he saying 7-5?
Is it going to be his official ESPN Louisville magazine
pick? Oh, please, no magazine. Please, you shut your dirty mouth.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know that was a sensitive topic. I apologize.
Oh, it's a sensitive topic.
I didn't know.
It's a lot of work.
I didn't know.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of meetings.
I bet.
There's a lot going on here. Okay. It's a sensitive issue.
I made my contribution last season.
Never talk to Phil Baker about it.
I won't. Never
mention that around him.
I will not.
Why is he doing that, Blankenbaker?
Seven or eight
wins. Come on, Blankenbaker. You got a starting quarterback. You got Tutu Atwell, Javian Hawkins, year two with the defense.
I mean, if you're going 7-5, you're losing.
7-5 is a disappointing.
Losing to Kentucky.
Yeah, you're losing to Kentucky. You're losing anyone that matters, and you're losing to a team or two that don't.
Yeah.
Like if you told me Louisville was 7-5, I'd tell you they lost to NC State week one. If you told me, hey, they're finishing 7-5, I'd say, okay, they're losing to Kentucky, Florida State, Clemson. Okay, there's three.
There's three right there.
There's three.
NC State.
Exactly. You would almost have to throw in NC State.
Virginia. You got to play Virginia at Virginia.
We'll see.
Wow. I'm higher on the cards than Blankenbaker.
They could win 10 games.
That's right. I'm higher on the cards than Blankenbaker.
All right, go ahead. Next sound.
If we're 2 weeks from now and there's no story about a massive spike due to the protests, then I'm sorry, I don't do politics often. The governor should apologize profusely for and every decision he's made has been flawed. Because, you know what, I don't do COVID talk, so go to another show for that. But we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, he wants that so bad.
Mitch, I think that's worth playing again.
Yes, it is.
Mitch, I think that's worth playing again. We should have led each hour. In fact, I would like if this was included in all SportsCenter updates for the next 24 hours on ESPN. Let's send this to ESPN as well and CBS Sports Network. If we can get this on, send it to Nick Coffey to send it to Fox Sports. Venetti, we got to get this sound on all stations. Terry Miners, it's on you to get this sound on. Go ahead.
If we're 2 weeks from now and there's no story about a massive spike due to the protests, then I don't do politics often. The governor should apologize profusely for and every decision he's made has been flawed. Because, you know what, I don't do COVID talk, so go to another show for that. But we'll see. We'll see.
Wait. Can you go back to when you guys raise the sound to when it goes from him talking about Bashir to COVID? You know what I'm talking about, Mitch. The sound in our ears went up. It like buzzed that you guys did editing, which you did a good job.
Because he mumbled it.
Yeah, because he mumbled. I know he mumbled it because he's scared. Because he's a coward. He turtled like everybody else.
Yes.
Like everybody else. So go ahead.
He's made has been flawed. Because, you know what, I don't do COVID talk, so go to another show for that. But we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
The sports radio, we'll see.
Yes.
We'll see.
Dude, he wanted to go off.
Him and Carolyn. Listen. He will never do this, but him and Carolyn, I just want to video them. Save that. Just leave that there.
Yeah,
I want to video them talking about Bashir. That's what I was going to say.
Oh.
But it is Thursday. You know what Thursday is?
It's Kinky. Yep. Thursday.
Yeah, it's Kinky Thursday.
Yeah, at the Lachlan McLean residence.
Mitch, anything else you want to play here in the last minute or so?
Go get all them boys out of Florida State. We'll love you here. We'll take care of you here. Like,
it's not that funny, but it just is at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Get Chuba back in the fold.
Mitch, you have any more sound?
We're
going to be clunky towards the end.
Yeah.
I want you, just because we're not there for the nonverbal cues, Texter says, and go to break after this, and Streep will get anything else you want to say. You done?
Oh, yeah.
You good?
Okay. I'm ready to go.
Good to go.
Yes.
Eloquent
Thank
there.
Thank you.
Texter says, Carolyn owns a Drew Brees jersey.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.